We wanted to continue to explore the package of election proposals working its way through the state legislature. Yesterday, we spoke with a Democratic operative and election lawyer, Mark Brewer, who is vehemently opposed to the Republican-led efforts to change election laws in Michigan. Today, we invited John Peerage to join us, another elections attorney and an expert in the field. He's argued many high-profile, high-stakes election cases in the state, and that includes representing the interests of Donald Trump's campaign against Green Party candidate Jill Stein's recount efforts in 2016. John Peerage, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you today.
In your estimation, do Michigan's election laws need an overhaul?
I don't think they need an overhaul. There may be some areas where there needs to be some tweaking. We operate under the 1954 Michigan election law. Quite honestly, the election code has been amended many, many times from that period going forward. But do I think we need a drastic overhaul? No, I don't think we need a drastic overhaul.
So how did we get from virtually no attention to these matters to a package of 39 bills detailing down to things like drop boxes shall be closed after 5 p.m. the day before Election Day? What strikes you about the breadth and the quantity of repairs that these bills are proposing?
Well, I wouldn't call them repairs. I would call them, in most instances, obstacles to voting. Quite honestly, I've been doing election work since the early 1970s. I represented the State Board of Canvassers when I was an assistant attorney general early in my legal career. And I've represented many clients, Democrats, Republicans, and independents in regard to challenges throughout that period of time. And quite honestly, instead of expanding voting rights and expanding opportunities, I think this package of 39 bills does just the opposite. And really, it's kind of ironic. After we, the people of the state, amended the Constitution with regard to the voters, not politician proposal, that not only did redistricting modifications, taking it out of the hand of the partisan redistricting process and putting it into a nonpartisan process, but we had many other things that were encapsulated in that constitutional amendment in 2018, and especially the no reason absentee voting authority that really changed the 2020 election that provided in a pandemic for that opportunity. I see most of the provisions in this package of bills as being antithetical to what we did in 2018 as the people of the state. And now we have the politicians of the state who are trying to undo many of the protections that we now have built into our Constitution. So if in fact any of these bills would ever pass the legislature and be signed into law, which I seriously doubt would ever be the case. And even if they did a ballot proposal to put these proposals on the ballot at the next general election, I dare to say most are totally unconstitutional or probably unconstitutional.
Well, let's unpack. I want to go back to something you said about Michigan's Proposition 2 and Proposition 3, which were, as you mentioned, these were the ballot measures that brought us a new system of redistricting, no reason absentee voting, and a slew of other things. One of the authors of this new package of bills, State Senator Ed McBroom, said that there were problems with the implementation. And I want to unpack that a little bit. Do you know what
Sure.
he was talking about?
I haven't the faintest idea what he's talking about, quite honestly. The only problems that I think that we had was misinformation about the process and the procedure in the 2020 election in the midst of both the primary and then the general election in the midst of a pandemic. But I know of no real problems that anyone has ever given evidence of. I hear rumors, I hear statements, but there's absolutely no evidence of these quote unquote problems that I'm aware of.
Some elections officials have been known to ask people for an ID when they show up to vote. Michigan law says that you don't have to do that if you sign an affidavit.
Correct.
Also, I believe that there were some voters in the last couple election cycles who expected to be able to register to vote at their polling place, but you can't actually do that under our current law. You have to go to a clerk's office to do that. Do those strike you as the kind of issues that this package of bills might be trying to address?
I don't think they're trying to address those problems at all. I've reviewed from the cursory point of view, not in a deep analytical sense, all of the bills in question, and I don't find any of them truly being desirous of expanding and guaranteeing rights of voters. You just gave a great example. To say that you have to drop off an absentee ballot at 5 p.m. the night before the general election, I have no idea what the relevance to the purity of the electoral process that would be related to. None whatsoever. The same thing with photo IDs and the fact that in our Constitution, you're permitted to register on the same day as the election. Well, we're trying to make sure that people have the right to vote, not trying to make it more difficult to vote. And I find the overall package to be tremendously geared to making it more difficult to vote. And if I could comment on the one part that I found most egregious of all, that's with regard to changing either the State Board of Canvassers' role or the local boards of canvassers' role. First of all, the State Board of Canvassers is in our Constitution. It's guaranteed to be two members of the Democratic and Republican parties. And the local boards of canvassers in each county reflect exactly that same structure. To change that structure would put our election certification process, in my opinion, in a complete disastrous state, because all of a sudden you'd have partisan political opponents who might be able to control or prevent the certification for their partisan reasons, which would have nothing to do with the sanctity of the election and the process itself that just occurred.
The package of bills actually proposes a couple of different options for changing boards of canvassers. There is a provision that would expand it to 6 people or to 8 people. I was a little confused about that. Like, what is the difference between having a 4-person board, which is 2 Democrats and 2 Republicans, and having a 6 or 8 person? Like, why do you say that that's a recipe for disaster?
First of all, it's not easy to fill the positions as local boards of canvassers, because A, it requires a fair amount of time. It requires a fair amount of diligence. And you have scheduling issues because of the statutes that are in place with regard to the deadlines that are imposed. So if you think it's hard to schedule a 4-member local board of canvassers meeting, can you imagine what it would be like when you add 6 and 8 and say, well, I've got a veterinarian appointment that afternoon, I can't do it. And all of a sudden the board can't then meet. So to enlarge the size of the board of canvassers, in my opinion, would do nothing other than make it more difficult for them to function. Number two, the more people that you put into the equation, the more arguments and the more issues from a partisan standpoint that you can raise. So I think the Springers in 1961 and 62, when they created the State Board of Canvassers at 4, you could argue that maybe you only need 2, 1 in each party. But quite honestly, expanding it will be of no benefit whatsoever and will probably be deleterious to the overall impact of certification.
I think those of us who didn't really know about the State Board of Canvassers before the 2020 election cycle and the very well-attended and very hotly debated Board of Canvassers meetings that certified results in places like Wayne County and the State Board of Canvassers meetings, we definitely saw that there is a partisan element just by the fact that you have 2 Democrats and 2 Republicans. But yet you feel that this is an organ of state government that still has an important focus in Michigan's political life?
Well, it has an important focus in the sense that it's in the Constitution, and the Constitution, until it's changed, requires that this process be followed. As I said, could we go down, if the state constitution would change, could we go down to a 2-member board? I guess we could. The reason, though, that we put the partisan structure in place initially was to ensure that we didn't have what occurred before in the 1950s, which was where you would have completely partisan, especially in rural setting, boards of canvassers versus completely partisan where you would see in certain urban areas. So it was meant to be a leveling impact on this process. But again, what do the board of canvassers do? It's a ministerial activity. There's no discretion involved in the Board of Canvassers. It's merely a counting process to ensure that the counting has been done. There is one thing that I think, one improvement that could go forward, because that has to do with what's recountable. Right now, unless the precinct's poll book and the number of ballots are matched exactly the same, a precinct is not recountable. There may be a way to address that I think that could satisfy everybody. That might say that if a precinct is not off by more than 1 or 2, that might be still recountable. But other than that, we really have a pretty good system. It really works pretty well. I mean, no election is perfect, and people are saying we need to have perfection for elections to be meaningful. We're never going to achieve that goal. But they're pretty good in terms of accuracy and pretty good in regard to execution. And I think that's what we should be focusing on, making them better, not making them more difficult.
We know that the Republican leadership in the legislature is committed to moving these bills forward. We know that Governor Whitmer will probably veto them if that happens. And we know, as you alluded to, that Republicans are preparing themselves to gather signatures to try to put them in front of the legislature that way, in a way that could circumvent the governor's veto. Do you think that these changes, if they go forward, would be in any kind of legal peril because of the will that the voters exercised in 2018?
I think not only would they be in peril in regard to that, I think, God forbid, if this kind of proposal would be subject to a petition drive and placed and enacted by the legislature, I think there would be a hue and cry amongst the people of this state to amend the Constitution, to put all of the specific safeguards back into the Constitution to prevent the kind of political shenanigans that are being perpetrated under these kinds of proposals. I really do.
Attorney John Peerich. John, thank you so much for your time and your thoughts on this.
Have a great day and be safe. Wear a mask.